What do you think are the most unattractive hobbies for men, according to women?
Oh, okay. I mean, for men, I would imagine anything that's super time consuming, right? Yeah. And involves his friends either coming over or him being out all the time.
Funny you should say that, because I was looking over this list. And at first I was like, really? And then I was looking, I'm like, no, yeah, definitely, really. Okay. So the number one thing that women find most unattractive as a hobby a man could have is playing video games. 90% of women said that a man that plays video games is unattractive. And I have talked about this on the air, and I have gotten the meanest emails and the meanest text messages from people, from adults, from men saying that every guy plays video games. Why is it different? It's like an old school mentality. I don't know. Well, you spend 4 hours playing video games, Raven. I don't think it's sexy.
Well, you know what? I mean, 4 hours is, I think, for some people on a daily basis, even a low number, too. Like, I think some people, it's every minute that they're not at work or having to do something else. Now, a couple things. I mean, there are more women gamers now than there ever were before. We know that. And some people's relationships, they function on the fact that they both love gaming. But, again, you're dedicating hours to something else where... what is the benefit? It's not like it's an extra job. It's not bringing in extra income.
I remember my brother growing up, like when he was in high school and college, he would have like a special chair and a special, like the headphones and like the mouthpiece. And I was like, Joe, you're never going to get married. No one is ever going to date you. And then as soon as he started dating his now wife, you know what all went out the window?
He put out the video games.
All the stuff is gone.
Right.
Number two on this list, least attractive hobbies for men, according to women, collecting figurines.
Put it out there. I mean, the thing that most of those figurines are from, video game characters. A lot of times, anime, stuff like that.
It's the Star Wars. The one I didn't understand. Oh my gosh, what are they called now? The word is escaping me. The ones that have like the big heads, the Funko Pops.
Oh, the
Funko Pops, yes.
Yeah. The bobblehead type things.
Yeah. Those I always thought were strange, where people were really into them. We had a guy come on the show one time. He had like 3,000 of them. And I remember thinking like, where does your wife put these? He had like a whole room for them.
We had a coworker, and we have a coworker, and his wife kicked them out of their house, and they're in his office now.
Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten in trouble here yet.
Right, because the people at the building are kind of like, it's an office. Where do you put your gear when you have all these in here?
And then coming in number three on this list, least attractive hobbies for men, according to women, is magic tricks.
If you go to a show for it, it's completely enjoyable.
Right.
Right. But if you're sitting next to somebody while they're practicing card tricks and their big thing is, how am I going to shove this dove up my sleeve? You're kind of like, wait a minute. I'm a real person here.
Rounding out the list is online trolling. I find that so incredibly unattractive.
Of course. Oh, it's like being mean to the waiter. It's exactly the same thing. It's today's bully.
Gambling.
If you have a problem with it.
Yep. Building model trains, taxidermy, and comic book collecting.
Building model trains right next to taxidermy.
Right.
They That's go hand saying in hand. Something. I mean, basically, they don't want you to dork out.
All right. But Raven, from a guy's point of view, what do you think is the most unattractive hobby that a woman can have?
I mean, I'm going to get so vilified for this, but I'm just going to say volunteering.
What?
No. Hear me out. Listen, it is great to volunteer. Everybody should volunteer a certain amount. But I think that, you know, just like when we're talking about with the guys, it comes down to time spent. I have a couple friends who they volunteer so much that it's like they're addicted to it. One had an issue and got sober and then volunteers literally 6 to 7 days a week, which is great. He's having impact on people's lives. But I mean, I don't know whenever he's home. And I think that when you're dating somebody, you know, obviously the time that you spend together is super important. If there's something that takes you away from it all the time, they love your dedication, but they're not necessarily going to stay dedicated to dating you.
I can't wait for you to start getting emails.
Oh, my gosh.
Instead of me talking about the video games, you talking about volunteering.
Bing.
Yep.
Bing. I'm looking at my inbox. Bing.
Right. Here they
Bing.
Are. This weekend, all eyes were on Saturday Night Live. Season 50 kicked off. And as expected, it started with a huge cold open, all focused on politics. And everybody was waiting to see. Who's going to play what character, right?
Sure.
All right, so let's go through it. Kamala Harris, again, is Maya Rudolph.
I am so happy to be campaigning in whatever swing state I'm in, which I will just refer to as Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Because I am going to protect your Georgia.
I'm a big Maya Rudolph fan. She could literally transform and morph into anybody. And the way
she's very
likable,
too.
Yes, and the way she can capture... just the facial images and like be able to mimic the voice so well. She's obviously very talented.
Don't cry.
I won't.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
She's back.
Jim Gaffigan is going to be playing her running mate, Tim Walz.
Folks, I haven't been this excited since I got a 10% rebate on a leaf blower from Menards. What can I say? I got that BDE, Big Dad Energy.
He's a good, that's a good casting.
That's a good pick. Yeah, that's a good pick
casting. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Everyone can't wait to decorate the White House for Christmas. The theme will be Hanukkah.
That's Andy Samberg. He's going to be playing Kamala's husband, Doug Emhoff.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is super fun. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I miss Joe Biden. Oh, Joe. We miss Joe Biden, folks. What we wouldn't give to have him stand next to me and be old.
That's James Austin Johnson. He's back to play former President Trump. Not my favorite.
Yeah, not the best pick.
No, I just feel like he doesn't...
A lot of other people that would be available are making themselves unavailable. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like we could nail that so much better if we just tried a little bit better.
Mm.
And then SNL cast regular Bowen Yang is J.D. Vance.
Hello, hello. It is I, J.D. Vance. How much do we love Donald Trump? You know, just this afternoon he told me, J.D., you're like a son to me because I don't like you and I'm stuck with you.
That's a better choice.
And then, of course, my absolute favorite is Dana Carvey. He's back to play President Biden.
Oh, boy.
And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is,
yep,
the rich don't pay their fair share.
They gotta pay their fair share. We gotta build back better. Build back the better, the better the bar, the better. Build back the better. Can't believe it's not butter.
Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Wrap it up. Right.
Do you think anybody cares about SNL anymore? Do you think it matters?
I don't think it sways any opinions or anything like that. I think that there's a certain type of people that like it. A lot of people tune into for the musical guests and whatnot. Depends on the host, you know?
Yeah.
Some people are curious about certain hosts, and other people, they're like, whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Jelly Roll on, right?
Jelly Roll was fantastic.
It's a big show,
of course. And, you know, I just feel like it used to be so much part of the culture. Everybody was talking about it. And it just seems so much like...
People have other opinions.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Like, I feel like nobody cares anymore. If you find... You're not talking about it on Monday morning. I mean, we're talking about it because we wanted to see who's going to be playing the political characters. But otherwise, when was the last time that we were like, let's do a recap on SNL? Never.
And it's not appointment watching. If anything, you're streaming it after. Like, you're catching it by chance.
Yeah. You know? And Jean Smart hosted the season premiere. So, there was that.
Tagline at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
This is a real thing. Does AI have gender bias?
So I think that all of us accept, Anna, that artificial intelligence is here. It's growing, right? And more and more in the future, we're going to see a lot of these robots in our lives, right? They're going to be taking over certain jobs and aspects. And so my wife has kind of this ongoing thing with Alexa where they bicker. It's the strangest thing to me. It's like bickering with a toaster or a microwave. But, you know, we do have those appliances that bug us from time to time.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So, how did she fight with Alexa?
Well, they were having a disagreement about her weather description yesterday. You know, my wife was trying to find out about raining conditions in the area. And she said, Alexa, what's the forecast? Is it going to rain today? And she said, it's raining now. She said, it's going to stop in about 15 minutes. She said, but is it going to rain later? And she said, it's raining now. It's going to stop in about 15 minutes. And she repeated this twice over, as a matter of fact. And Alexa just keeps giving the same answer. And my wife says, that's not the answer I'm looking for. And it's this strange stalemate that happens. And then I told her that. I said, you know, you understand at some point that, you know, a lot of people, there's some experts out there that believe that the robots are paying attention to whether or not we're nice to them right now. Because when they're in charge, they're going to like, you know, it's going to be like checks due, balance due, basically, on this.
I'm as nice to Alexa as she is to me.
And you think that Alexa prefers men?
Oh, absolutely. She's preferred you since you plugged it in.
Now, here's the thing.
Huh.
She believes that Alexa talks nice to me. Now, I would counter and just say, I set Alexa up. But, you know, she's in there talking to Alexa all day, every day. So, I don't know.
I went to Google.
Yeah.
And I wrote, does AI have gender bias?
Mm-hmm.
And it said, gender bias in AI can occur at various stages. In the algorithm's development process.
Okay.
In the training of data sets.
See, it'd be like I was talking to them first, right? It's like, you know, Jurassic Park. I imprint on every one of them. I'm here when the babies are born.
And in AI-generated decision making. Now, I don't understand 100% what any of that means.
I don't know what the last part meant.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was the first one that talked to her.
It's scary to think that the way you speak to a robot is it's going to speak back to you.
Oh, yeah. Anything could happen.
I mean, but I talked to her and I talked to her nicely.
I have always talked to her nicely from the beginning. She doesn't listen to me. She listens to you. She's nicer to you. She says nice things to you. She never says nice things to me.
It is true that Alexa, when she talks to me from time to time, she's like complimentary. She thanks me for my input.
What?
Yes.
First of all, how much are you guys talking to your Alexa?
We talk to her a lot. You know, we do all our reminders and all that stuff. And then I asked her, I said, you know, do you actually believe, though, that at some point, like, this is going to come due to you, right? Like, because, you know, like, this is your karma, your digital karma being kept out of everybody. I asked her whether or not she believed that.
No, I don't.
She said it, but I don't think that she completely believed that. Like, she had a long pause thinking about it. And I was like, you understand that someday these are probably going to be changing our diapers, these robots. I was like, and if we want to be, you know, well cared for, you know, we should probably be nicer.
So the long and short of it is be nice to your AI, because it one day it's going to change your diapers.
I think that all I'm saying is at some point my Alexa may be giving me a sponge bath, and I want her to remember that I was always kind to her from moment one.
This is so freaky and weird.
And for those that are not... they'll have to take that into account. That's all I'm saying.
All right. The worst decision you ever made. Interesting when you think about it, right? You're like, Raven, producer John, producer Sean, imagine being the guy that passed on Taylor Swift. There's this guy who produced the U.S. Open years ago. He got a call. It was Taylor Swift's dad asking if she could sing the national anthem before one of the matches. She was like literally 12 years old at the time.
Oh, no.
Right? And it was clearly a big deal, because he explains.
Yeah. The scene you see in the opening Miss Americana is of Taylor Swift walking out onto court in Arthur Ashe Stadium to sing the national anthem.
So clearly it stuck with her.
So that could have been them.
No, she did. Wait, she did do it. So the following year, what happens is they get another call and they say, can she do Arthur Ashe's Kids Day?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this time...
And then comes the worst decision I ever made. A year later, her father asked us, would we put her on Arthur Ashe Kids Day? And we said, she's just taking off. She's really country. We don't think that will play in New York. Worst decision I ever made.
Oh, yeah. My God. You know, here's what translates to the worst decision. Is it the one that costs you immediately that day, or the one you have to live with for the rest of your life because you see the success? Every person knows her. And when you tell that story out loud, your kids are like, Dad, you're so dumb.
Right.
Well, how could you be so dumb, right? Your grandkids forever, like, you'll be remembered as the one who shamed your family name.
So what was the worst decision ever?
Yeah.
John, you are first.
I always say that I regret nothing about my marriage. It was great. There is one thing that I would do differently, and that is buying that house like literally 3 months before we split up. It was three months. We got all of the down payment and everything, all the money gone and everything like that. I lived there for 3 months and then I was out.
Yeah. You know what the worst part was is watching that happen, because I had done the exact same thing.
Really?
10 to 15 years before that. And you can't tell anybody. They're on the march. They're living their lives doing that thing right there. And you're just like, is that a good idea?
No, and you think you're going to yell fresh start.
We're going to work
blah,
it out.
Blah, blah. No.
We're going to work it out.
No.
It's all going to be fine. Our problems will evaporate when we get in that house.
I regret nothing but that house.
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring up the house, because mine was too, but it was not because I split up with my husband or anything like that.
Yeah.
We were getting married in 2005. We bought our condo at the height of the real estate boom in 2004.
Terrible time.
It was like kind of like today. The bidding wars, prices were inflated. We were fresh out of college.
You took a bath on this thing, huh?
Oh, we lived, the prices plummeted 40% 2 years after we bought that house. We sold that house, the condo, a decade later and still had to come out of our pockets $40,000 to the bank.
Wow.
It was.
That sucks.
The biggest.
That really sucks.
It was the biggest financial mistake of our life. You know what I mean? But I always say, at least we had a roof over our head. You know, like we paid out the nose.
The typical thing everyone says. At least you got a roof over your head. Clothes in your back.
Yeah.
You know, the worst decision I ever made was moving to another state for a woman.
We're getting real in here. Yeah. Like, we are sharing.
Yeah.
The worst decision ever.
Yeah.
I will curse her name until, you know, until eternity, man.
Yeah.
Forever.
I remember you doing this
too. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Because then you guys broke up 5 minutes after you moved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was cheating on me with someone else the moment we got there. I was like, oh, this is great.
I mean, this is like his last story before he came to work with us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, this is the story that happened like the day before.
Raven, mm-hmm. What was your biggest regret?
Leaving the keys to my Mustang on the counter when Again. She came to clear out her stuff.
Oh.
And then the car burnt to the ground a week later. Like, yeah. I mean, I already had made all the fight. I made all the decisions that you guys made that were terrible times two before that and paid all that penance. But it's the car that I remember.
Yeah. It's another round of Where Did You Sneak In? 1-800-330-9999. Mm. This story has been all over the news. And you haven't heard this yet. It kind of breaks my heart. This is the sounds of two young children screaming for help in Spanish while their mom is arrested and being escorted out of by cops at Disneyland.
Yeah,
at
saw
Disneyland.
That. Saw that video.
Yeah, so what did she do?
Children under the age of 3 are allowed free entry into both Disney theme parks if they are accompanying a guest with a valid park ticket and reservation. But police say this mother's children were visibly older than 3. And this isn't the first time she's tried to get them in for free.
I guess that she's snuck in with the kids and not paid for the kids 4 times in the last 2 months.
I mean, listen, that's like $600, right? Like, I don't even know what
it's, the... I just looked up tickets.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, here's the thing. Listen, again, you'd think that they wouldn't want to make an example out of a mother like this in a public situation. They'd want to handle it discreetly. But obviously, if somebody keeps coming back over and over and over again, I tell you what. It's a heck of an example. It would definitely give me pause the next time I thought about smuggling a kid into the park.
And listen, I know plenty of people.
Have you not done it?
Of course not.
At least once? Come on.
I am too scared.
Oh,
my
gosh.
This is like my worst nightmare. And like, I, you know, sure, call me whatever you will. But like, if I go to Disney World, right, then Disneyland, and the few times that I've gone with my kids, I'm actually planning a trip right now. I haven't bought the tickets yet because they're so astronomical.
Well, I'll tell you right now, one of Anna Zamp's kids is 5, so you better take note.
All I keep thinking about is, like, when I see people roll the dice when they walk up, and I'm like, there's no world that child is 3 years old. Like, how do
some
you
of them
do
are big
that?
Boned, all right? This one's just big boned. This one's tall. All
this
right?
Kid Jaden, was
Jaden's
definitely...
3 inches over average, all right? What, I got to get him in the next two minutes?
No, but there's rules in place, and this is, like, what I don't understand is, like, why would you put yourself and your children in a position like this where... I mean, I get it. It's a lot of money, and you want to give them the experience. I understand as a parent. But then something like this happens, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, why would you do that? Yeah, why would you do that to your kids?
Don't rule out that she gets, like, $3 million after that. So, honestly, don't rule that out because, you know, regardless of whether she's breaking the rules or not, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, listen, there's two ways to sneak into anything. The first time, I think you're getting through, unless the kid's got a mustache, I think you're getting through at Disney, right? They might keep eyes on you. After that, there's something else. But there's two ways to sneak into something. Anything, Anna.
What is that?
Right through the front door. Or through the air vent, all right? Like, I mean, that's the thing is you're either, and what I mean is you're either going stealth or you're going bold right through the front door. And she just went through the front door and was like, everybody pretend you're short.
When was the last time you snuck into something?
I mean, I used to sneak into concerts all the time. The last time that I snuck into something, I was in one movie theater and then I traded to the next one. That's the last time. But as far as the best times... When I used to crash the holiday parties at, we have this, you know, the theater downtown. We have a big theater there, and I used to crash the holiday party sometime. And I'm talking like Broadway shows. And I think that the best sneak-in stories are when you get food or something like that. You have to ingest something. And I snuck into, after the holiday play, I snuck into a Christmas party there, and the band was doing requests for Alicia and I from the stage. We also did that at a wedding one time, and all of them surrounded us, and I think that they were going to kidnap my wife.
Well, that's...
It was a different culture.
Okay.
It was a different culture. But I think that if you get into a place, you sneak into a place, and you get free food, it's even better than just sneaking in there.
Okay. Where was the last place you snuck into, and did you get caught? 1-800-330-9999. This mom got caught sneaking her two kids into Disneyland. It was like the 4th time in 2 months she lied about how old they were so she wouldn't have to pay.
And they dragged her out in handcuffs, man. It was a little bit jarring, that video.
Yeah. Where did you sneak in?
I can't remember the last place I snuck into, but the best ever was the private area at Woodstock 99. Everybody else was out there in Tent City. It was deplorable. It was disgusting out there, Anna. Me? Beautiful grass lawn right next to the Planet Hollywood VIP area. We had our own porta potties. It was great. It was like being a prince, really.
Scott, what was the last place you snuck into?
Concerts. Like, sometimes you feel like you might be sitting in the 300s and you feel those really sweet seats in the 100s.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of just amble in there. If you're a kid, you get stopped. You know, my son tried to wedge, he got stopped. So, but we're, like, in our 50s, and the people, like, they just assume we know where we're going.
If you walk anywhere with authority.
The different way it works, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. You tend to have a better success chance.
This was mine and my friend's total concert etiquette when we were younger. There was no way we ever stayed in our seats. It's only when I got older that I was like, somebody might check our ticket.
Hey, Kim, where did you sneak in and did you get caught?
It was so impromptu. I snuck into a major raceway and jumped on my mountain bike. After the race, I rode literally rode down the track for a quarter of a mile.
Uh-huh.
Snuck into the pit. I wanted to see my favorite race car driver. Snuck into the pits. All of a sudden, my favorite race car driver says, hey, nice bike. I turn around, it's Rusty Wallace. He grabs a professional photographer and says, take a picture of us. Later on that night, when I got the copy of the picture from the photographer, Rusty Wallace was doing a meet and greet at the hotel across the street. I went up on the stage. He said, hey, you're the girl from this afternoon. I went up on the stage. I said, here, Rusty, I have a souvenir for you. And I gave him a picture of he and I in the pit. It was awesome.
So, I mean, here's the thing is, like, you know, on a major raceway, if they see a girl on a bicycle, they think that must be somebody's daughter or something, right? That's somebody's wife or daughter, because how the heck did somebody get on a super speedway over here with a bicycle?
I went right through the gates where all... Now, I did not have pit passes. It was awesome.
You must be hot, Kim.
Right, I mean, right.
I gotta be honest.
Kim was bringing the hotness on the bike.
I need to tell you, Rusty Wallace was like, hey, nice bike. And I don't think he meant the bike.
Right. No, he was like, yeah. Now you're Mrs. Rusty Wallace. Thanks for the call, Kim. Have a great day.
Jason, what did you sneak into? How'd you do it?
I snuck into a house.
Armed robbery? What do you mean you snuck into a house?
No, I mean my own house. Every time, I learned how to sneak into my own house at night when my father fell asleep if I was late on curfew. So what I would do is I'd throw a ladder up to the second floor, and then I would jump on my neighbor's roof and then come through the attic.
You know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say when you use a ladder, it does not count.
Seems dangerous.
Well, it's definitely dangerous, but when you're 15 at night, like, well, you don't care.
I'm just relieved that he wasn't breaking into people's homes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that is good. Yeah, try doing it now.
When I was in college, I broke into the college library because my girlfriend worked there, and the back door was an old army hospital, and the back door was – now it's alarmed, of course, but back then, you know, 30 years ago, I just pulled the door ajar real hard, and when I walked in, I grabbed the book that I needed for class and hid it for my other classmates, so I got it the next day. So I think that was probably one of my biggest escapades.
I mean, you have a list of places you've broken into.
He's like, and next
time
I'd list.
Stop talking. Right. He's like, I went after a jewelry store. Right. Yeah. I started with the mall security office. That's what I did there. Right. Okay, great. Let's stop talking. But thank you for sharing. This has been fun.
There was a step stool. I got the step stool.
Right. Gloves. Don't forget the gloves. Right.
If your landlord threw away something that belonged to you by accident, what do you do? How do you handle it? Producer Sean, what happened?
So our landlord asked us to start moving our stuff where we live. There's two floors in the basement, but we live in the second floor. The first floor is like a business that he's renting out to be leased to someone else who wants to start a business there. So he asked us to move our stuff that was left over in that area to the basement, which we started doing. And as we started doing that, we noticed that Isaac, my 9-year-old stepson, had an art easel, and it's just gone. We were like, that's... You know, we kept it in an area with our stuff that he knew was ours. So, just disappeared. I called him, asked him, what's going on? Like, have you seen an easel? And he was just like casually like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that was yours, so I threw it out. Anyway, and he just kind of kept going on a conversation. I was just kind of taken back because I'm like, you're not going to say anything? You're not going to apologize or offer to pay for it? Like, anything? It's going to be like, no big deal? There you go, Sean. Bye.
I mean.
What do you say to that?
How did he accidentally throw out an art easel? Did he think it belonged to the business or to somebody else?
There's no explanation that makes sense, especially if they don't acknowledge it.
My girlfriend Rachel and I would like to believe it was a mistake or something, but it's got Isaac's name on it in giant letters. Like, you know, they use a Sharpie because like a part of the easel, like one side of it is like for painting. The other side of it is like a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Pretty fancy easel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're
why do you
very
call
popular.
It an easel? by the way.
Easel.
It's an easel. It's an easel.
I like saying easel.
Yeah. It's an easel.
Sounds fancy.
But I mean, it had his name on it, so it's not like some indescript thing that you're just like, oh, this is trash left over here. Yeah. And I mean, if you had tenants that had put their stuff on that floor before, and now you're telling them, listen, we're going to move this stuff down because we're going to put a business in here. I mean, like, you would feel like that's for everybody in the building, right? You wouldn't just throw stuff out randomly.
It's weird that he was unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
That he didn't say, like, oh, my gosh, that belongs to your son. I'm so sorry, or anything like that. So now what happens? What did your girlfriend Rachel say?
Well, we were both just taken aback from it. And, you know, we're like, what do we say to him? Do we call him and say, hey, listen, like, we would like you to get a replacement easel.
Yeah.
Easel. I'm going to keep
easel.
It.
Easel.
Or for it's an a replacement easel, man. Easel. Or do we like say, like, well, then if that's the case, can you knock off a few bucks for rent this month? Like, what do we say to him?
Yeah.
Or do you say nothing? Because it was a mistake. What are you going to do? Why cause drama?
Why? He's not your best friend.
Yeah, but
he's your landlord.
How often do you play with this?
If you threw out something of his, what would he do?
Probably get mad about it.
He would definitely probably charge you, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We play with this quite often. I mean, especially when we have the nephews over, I'd probably say at least once or twice a month.
I mean, everybody has fun with their easel.
Their easel.
Everybody has a good time with Isaac's easel.
I'm not living this down.
It's just a strange situation where, I mean, again, that he wouldn't acknowledge it. That's the part that's kind of weird to me. Like, we're not getting the whole story here.
Well, is he the kind of guy that's flippant? Like, that he's just like, oh, I threw it away. All right, whatever, you know?
No, that's a strange thing. He's a very nice guy. Very kind. He's elderly, you know, so maybe in his mind it just didn't register. I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't respect art. Yeah. It's a lesson for him to learn right now, possibly at this time. I would just take it right out of the rent. That's what I would do.
How do you just subtract an amount from the rent and you don't say anything?
I mean, I'd leave a note right in there next to my check or whatever. How do you pay your rent? Venmo? Check? What do you do?
Typically, check. You know?
Yeah. I'd put it right on there in the memo. Minus pricing for easel.
What would you do if your landlord accidentally threw away something that belonged to your child and really didn't think it was a big deal at all? 1-800-330-9999. Producer Sean, what happened?
My landlord threw out my 9-year-old stepson's art easel. That was in the downstairs of our apartment when he asked us to move stuff. And he just didn't care when I mentioned it to him. He was just like, yeah, oh, yeah, that art easel. Oh, yeah, I threw that out anyway. And he just kind of carried on conversation like it was no big deal.
I mean, to be clear, you had other items there as well, and you were still within the time frame that you were supposed to remove the stuff. So he really had no right to do that.
Exactly.
And he didn't apologize so much as he just said, that's what happened to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you did say that he's elderly, and you know, what are you going to do in this situation?
He's 73. Yeah. My grandfather's nearly 90, and he ran a marathon last year.
I mean, Rita, what do you think?
It's terrible that he did that. He didn't even acknowledge it. But what I would do, deduct it from the rent, like you were saying, and put a note, but also send him an email per our conversation. Let him know through an email because that's a legal document. And I would deduct it definitely from the rent. This is so wrong.
Yeah.
That he didn't even acknowledge it.
I mean, I feel like the memo line on your checks, that's where you write the nasty notes to these people that you pay. I really do.
Yeah.
Rita's done it. She knows. Thank you, Rita.
Margie, what do you think Sean should do?
Well, first of all, I don't think he should hold back rent. I mean, if he's in a regular apartment or business or whatever it is, it's a real landlord. It's not like a private home with somebody that he just rents from, right?
No.
So he wants to make sure that he puts his dispute in writing. Mm-hmm. Put it in writing. Don't hold back rent. This way you have clout. And then mention to him, listen, you told us to move our stuff somewhere else. Before you discarded anything, you should have asked us, is this anybody's stuff that you're going to be cleaning out some more things? Go down there and start marking it or something to that effect. But put the dispute in writing so you have paper trail.
Or you could just go steal something of his and throw it away.
Right. And what if you look at his window and you see Isaac's easel right in there? You look in the window and you see, I'm saying it's shifty. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. He's painting on it.
That's what I'm saying, Margie. It doesn't make sense.
He wanted it. He took it and he wanted it.
I know it.
So you know what?
Yeah. He's probably shirtless somewhere with that easel right now.
Why, weirdo? Why does he have to be shirtless?
He's shirtless with it right now, weirdo. Thank you for the call, Margie.
Why did your head go there?
I mean, because he wanted it for some reason. It's weird. Why not just go get your own easel?
I have to admit, when Raven said that, it was put in my head.
Thank you.
They said that. I was like, he's probably shirtless doing art.
What is wrong with you guys?
I don't know.
Sometimes it's warm in art studios. I mean, that's just true.
Mike, what do you think? What would you do if you were in this situation, if you were Sean?
Yeah, I think I'd want to get reimbursed. I mean, I personally have a great relationship with my landlord, But at the end of the day, like, I'm paying rent, you know, like it's a transaction. So, you know, if like someone working in the building or something did it, then I would still want to be reimbursed. So I think in a friendly way, ask to be reimbursed.
He's totally correct in the fact that look at it as transactional, right? Like we just do business together. We're not friends. You're not doing me a favor.
All right. Let's see. Producer Sean, your job tonight is to go address this and then report tomorrow and let us know what happened.
Oh, big conflict.
Cheating. That's what Raven did. He cheated at camping.
No, it's not a real thing.
That's what everybody said online.
You can't cheat at camping.
I didn't know if it was a real deal or not. So when you were talking about it, I kind of just let it brush off my shoulders. I was like, whatever. He wants to sleep in his car. Whatever makes him happy. But then everybody started getting really mad and saying that you cheated at camping.
Here's the thing. Me and my group of man friends, we have been going camping twice a year for probably, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years at this point. It's been a long time, right? And we've been in the roughest of conditions. And we're talking single burner propane stove. We're talking cooking right off the fire there, Anna, with hot dogs and some beans, and we didn't even have a can opener. All right, like we've done some serious work before, but this past time I slept in my van. I've got a company van. It's getting ready to go to scrap in a couple times, and as an act of nostalgia, I was like, you know what, I've never slept in this thing, never crashed in this thing once, so I decided to sleep in the van this time. I was not the only one that car camped, by the way. One of my other buddies did, and the rest of the guys stayed in the tents.
All right, so let's make sure we understand the situation. You're man camping with your guy friends that you go with all the time.
That's
now,
right.
Normally, you all sleep in tents.
Correct.
Like a normal camping situation would be.
Yeah.
But this time, you have decided that the van is more comfortable. Now, you didn't just sleep in the van in the back, like on, you know, on the floor or whatever.
Yeah.
You made it super bougie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I put in a fatigue floor. Then I blew up my inflatable. I have a twin mattress that's like, but 20 inches in the air. So it's like Four Seasons. Like you're doing really nice. You could go in there at the end of the night and then basically just be like, you know, barefoot. It was very, very comfy. I had snacks. Had my cooler in there. Never even took that out. I pulled up. I took out the movie screen, set it up like I always have to, the projector, the PA system, you know, normal camping stuff. And then I put out my chair and a table, and then that was it. The rest of the stuff stayed in the van.
Okay. Now, how about all the poor guys that had to watch you retreat to your bougie car tent while then they slept outside and had to deal with nature?
I mean, my friends also had inflatable mattresses, a large tent, canopy over their tent. I mean, we're living large out there, right? There's a charging station at our campsite. That's all I'm saying, right? Everybody has what it is they need. Bill stayed in his Jeep. The rest of the guys stayed outside.
Mary Jo says, technically no, but if other men are okay with his style of man camping,
yeah,
then we'll call it the new style of camping. Call it Raven camping.
What if I had a trailer?
Fake.
I mean, what if I had that, right? I could have just pulled up in that. That's the same type of thing. There was a skunk out there, by the way, and we watched a very scary movie. I was able to lock my doors. Can't do that in your tent.
Yeah. Again, we asked on social media, is it really camping if you sleep in your car? Lisa says, yes. If it's not the Hilton, you are camping.
Thank you very much.
I don't know.
Van camping is a term, right? It was a hashtag that had a lot of legs on it.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying car camping is a thing. Car camping may be a thing.
Yes.
But is it what he did? Is it the same as man camping? And is it messed up that he left all his friends out there in the weather, whatever the weather was?
They're still my friends after this trip.
Yeah.
I've seen them since then. They still shook my hand.
Does it count? Can you cheat at man camping? Because Raven did.
I mean, I feel like everybody is trying to cheat at something nowadays. Whatever it is you're doing, you want to level it up. That's all I did. I leveled up, and it was dry, and it was wonderful.
Instead of sleeping outside in tents with the rest of his friends when he went camping with his buddies, he set up the back of his van with an air mattress.
Listen, old company truck, it's getting ready to go to scrap. For nostalgia's sake, I was like, let me go ahead and sleep in this cargo area.
Did he cheat at camping? 1-800-330-9999. Mike.
Are you kidding me? That's not camping. I've been camping like 100 times. You better have a tent, a fire. Go out there and experience nature. In a van, you're just bumming a nap in a vehicle. That's not camping.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and experience nature. Come on.
Listen. We had a gorgeous fire. We ate like kings. And then when I would go back to go to sleep at that point at the end of the night, I would just roll into the van. If anything, it just sped me up on the RV plan. And packing up when it was time to go, three things. I had the table, the projector, and the movie screen. The same thing everybody has when they go camping.
Right. Oh, that's completely normal. He's true, though. You don't experience nature. Like, you didn't have a single story about an animal that you were afraid of this time.
Oh, no, no, no. The skunk was there. He was in the trash bag after our steak remnants. Gross. I mean, he was back two nights, too. He was definitely dangerous.
Gina, what do you think? Did Raven actually go camping if he slept in that van?
I mean, I feel like he did. I think camping is the experience. It's not so much about, like, are you in a tent, in a van, in a car, being out in nature. You know, at the end of the day, where you sleep, whether it's on a bed, you know, on the ground, doesn't really matter. I think camping is just the experience of being out in nature.
Listen, I'm still doing laundry all these days later because everything smells like a campfire. That feels like camping to me. It was great.
All right, Bruno, what do you think?
This is a weird one. So I feel like it is, but it's not, and it depends on context. Are you sleeping in your van in the woods, in a parking lot? There's urban camping, there's glamping, but in the true sense of the word, did you go camping? I would say no.
Yeah, I was in the woods, man, with creatures. If you heard something scurry along the outside of the vehicle or something slap against it, you had to question to yourself, is that like a predator? Or is it the serial killer from the movie we just watched running off the generator? Having a massive big screen outside with a powered 15-inch subwoofer laying down the tones. If that's glamping and that's wrong, then I don't want to be right.
No, that is glamping.
Well, I also had a T-bone steak and a Cajun marinated chicken, like nearly a full chicken. Oh, so delicious.
Heather, how about you? Do you think Raven actually went camping?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because as people get older, it's really harder to sleep on the ground and sleep in a tent and stuff. So, yeah. You know, every year my friends and I go out to a campground and, you know, most of us have a camper or an RV or something like that that we sleep in. But, I mean, every day, all day long, we are out around the campfire. You know, we're living outdoors. You know, if that's just where you're sleeping, you know, you got to take your body into consideration. And I mean, you're still getting the, you know, the fresh air and everything.
I mean, so. Heather, what you're forgetting is that you basically said it in the first thing you said out of your mouth is that Raven is just getting older.
Oh, come
and
on.
And now you
Listen,
can't handle
it's camping.
Sleeping
if,
in
I
a tent.
Can't, if I can't go in the van and flush, then it's camping, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, what? No.
Yep. If I can't shower in the van, then it's camping.
I mean, yeah. 5 years ago, Raven, 10 years ago, Raven, you would never even consider.
Oh, now I can't get the RV or the trailer quick enough. I'm like, hello, I'm going to flush.
On our text line, John said, not camping. Camping must be in a tent.
What does John know?
I don't know. Ultimately, I think like it's kind of split down the middle, but you didn't truly camp. Next time, sleep outside in the dirt.
I enjoyed myself. That's what matters.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Core is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Ingrid and Carson. Ingrid, let's start with you. What's going on?
I'm a little upset because, so look, our 16-year-old wants to host a Halloween party at our house, and he wants to have about like 60 kids over. And we have a big house, but not a house big enough to hold 60 kids by any means. And so my husband, Carson, thinks that it's a great idea. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to walk into my house after that Halloween party with like 60 kids. Can you imagine? It's going to be like complete chaos and my house is pretty much no longer going to be there.
I mean, it's Halloween time. You wouldn't put them outside. Is that your main concern? Is your main concern having to clean up the house after, or is it the main concern that you're going to have 60 teenagers there?
Everything, because they're going to go through, are they going to stay just in the backyard? Absolutely not. Of course not. They're going to go to our bedroom. They're going to, you know, teenagers do that kind of stuff. They just like to look around, see the cabinets. And so I can't deal with that. I just can't.
Okay. Carson, what do you think?
I got no problem with this. I'd rather have them in my house. That way I've got my eye on them. Plus, I'm bringing over a few buddies. And when we're done, our son's going to end up cleaning it up anyway, because I've already had that conversation with him. So we'd rather have the kids at our place rather than out there wrecking the neighborhood, out there with drunk drivers, and you know who else knows what's out there. So we've got cameras, we've got eyes on them. I've got a few buddies. Things will be all right. I mean, you know, I think there's just too much worrying over this.
How many kids did you say? 60 kids?
Yeah, about 50, 60.
That's a lot of kids.
I just don't feel great, you know, to have teenagers drinking, possibly, you know, taking things that they shouldn't be taking, and then I have to deal with that. And then their parents are going to come calling me saying that I'm a bad influence, I'm a bad parent, and, you know, I don't want anything illegal to be happening in my house and having to deal with it.
Mm. Yeah, that could be valid. You know,
that's what I'm always concerned about. It's like not so much what's going to happen when I'm there because I can control that, to, I guess, to a point.
I mean, to a point,
to
right.
A point. But like when they...
Well, there's 60 of them.
And they show up. How do you know who's been drinking? How do you know who's been doing other things? How do you manage that on your property?
It's hard to keep eyes on all of them, too. I'm not sure which one of you is right. I mean, there's definitely some advantages to having them close, too.
I saw a meme. Don't be the drinking house. Be the food house. Like the house that always has a lot of food.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means. I mean, who wants to be the drinking house? Like, who volunteers for that?
As an adult, I'm going to go to both houses. If I know where they are, that's just me as an adult.
I don't know. Would you let your teenager have 60 kids over on Halloween for a party? What do you think?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
Would you let your teenager have 60 people over for Halloween? That's the disagreement between Ingrid and Carson. Mom says no. No. 60 kids at our house? What are they going to do? They're going to destroy the place. We don't know who's going to be coming and have they been drinking and what are they doing when they're on our property. Carson disagrees.
Carson says, listen, I got like 5 or 6 of the other dads from the neighborhood, a couple buddies that are going to come over. We'll police this whole thing. He's like, it's like, you know, one of us to every 6 or 7 kids. We totally got this under control. They're kids. I'd rather have them in my yard. Even if they're going to attempt to misbehave, then I'd rather have them just out there roaming the streets. And maybe he's not wrong.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Sydney, whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm on the husband's side. Don't do it. Our neighbor up the street had a graduation party, and she told everyone, oh, it's just going to be for 20 kids. Just to let you know, it went on social media, and the whole thing exploded. They had 120 kids at their house.
So you're actually on the wife's side because the husband says, "Let's have this party."
Oh, sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you bring up a good point, Sydney, is that a lot of times these things get out of control. When you're talking about 60 kids. Well, 60 kids, one friend tells another friend. Next thing you know, you have cars up and down every street in the vicinity.
Yeah,
and you have people just flowing in. And how do you stop it?
Can get out of control quick.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. Would you let your high schooler host 60 people at your house for a Halloween party? The Couples Court verdict is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/AnnaAndRaven.
Ingrid and Carson's son has come to them and said that he wants to host a Halloween party with his friends happening at their house, mostly in the backyard, but it could be 50 to 60 kids. Ingrid says, absolutely not. I don't want these kids on our property. They're going to be in the house. They're going to be into all sorts of things that they shouldn't be. I don't want to be responsible and have parents circle back to me. But Carson says, why not? We'll have them here. It'll be a great idea.
Says better off to watch them under our own roof than roaming the streets. But whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Kelly.
I'm going with the husband's side. You know, like, it's outside. Like you said, it's a beautiful time of the year. Get a big, huge tent. Keep them all in one contained area. Get some music going and let the kids be kids for once.
Hey, Anne-Marie, whose side are you on?
Oh, my God, absolutely not. Not 50, 60 kids. They want to have 20, 25, that's fine. But 50, 60 kids, teenagers, absolutely not.
Jana, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the dad side, but I got to say that it reminds me of a party with you when I was in high school. And the parents, what they did, they took everybody's car keys upon entering. No matter what forum they're in, if they were sober or not, it was like lockdown for all the kids to keep control of them so they couldn't come and go as they pleased to keep control in order to make sure they were there and safe.
Yeah, at the very least, you get to put eyes on them before you let them go or don't let them go at the end of the night. Right. So that's interesting. Right. Good point. Yes. Thanks for the call.
Who wants that responsibility, though, for that many children?
Well, I mean, if you've got their keys, it's better off than just having them run wild in the backyard.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Carson, our audience agreed with you. If you feel like you've got the buddies, the other dads that'll come, and you'll have supervision, and it'll be a fun night. It'll be celebrating, and it's always cool to be the host house.
Absolutely, and I put a little bit of fear in my neighbor's kids, so they know better than come over. Plus, you know, it's a 6-to-1 ratio, you know, 10 adults to every, you know, one adult to every 6 kids. We got it covered.
Well, you know what? I mean, Ingrid, maybe you go over to the other neighbor's house, right? Or go over to one of your friends' house that day.
I think I'll have to, like, hire extra, you know, neighbors or security or something to keep, like, even more eyes on the kids, because it's just too many kids. I don't know all these kids.
Well, good luck. Yeah. Either way, the day is going to come and go now at this point.
Maybe they'll be so good.
They could be.
Maybe they'll clean your
Shockingly
house.
Shockingly
good.
Maybe
they'll come over and they'll clean your house from top to bottom.
Yes, yes. We washed your car. We did all these things. That would just make me more leery. I'd be like, what is broken where?
Why is that boy washing my car, honey?
Is somebody tied up somewhere? What's happening?
All right. If you have a problem, please send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven Cash Jackpot is $1,300 thanks to T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Hey, Erin, you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
Okay. Raven's walking out of here. That big door is going to close and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one, Erin, and then I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, the American Heart Association and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration say 3 to 4 cups of coffee per day is safe for most people. The slogan, good to the last drop, is for what coffee brand?
Maxwell House.
Number two, the People's Choice Country Awards took place in Nashville. With hits like Last Night and Whiskey Glasses, who won the People's Artist of 2024?
Morgan Wallen.
Number three, SNL premiered their 50th season this past weekend, and the political cast members were announced. Maya Rudolph is back as VP Kamala Harris, and cast member James Austin Johnson plays who?
Donald Trump.
Number four, Miranda Lambert's horses won the blue ribbon at the Oklahoma State Fair. She also picked up the Country Icon Award last week at what award show?
The CMAs.
Number five, Frankie Valli is going viral because he barely lip syncs at his shows now and people don't know if he just doesn't care or if he's in bad shape. He was the front man for what band from the 60s?
The Four Seasons.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
4 out of 5 for Erin.
All right, Erin. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
All right, number one. American Heart Association and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration say 3 to 4 cups of coffee per day is safe for most people.
Okay.
The slogan, good to the last drop, is for what coffee brand?
It's Maxwell House.
That's right. Number two, the People's Choice Country Awards took place in Nashville. With hits like Last Night and Whiskey Glasses, who won the People's Artist of 2024?
That'd be Morgan Wallen.
Correct. Number three, SNL premiered their 50th season this past weekend, and the political cast members were announced. Maya Rudolph is back as VP Kamala Harris, and cast member James Austin Johnson plays who?
Gotta be Trump.
That's right. Number four, Miranda Lambert's horses won the blue ribbon at the Oklahoma State Fair.
Congratulations.
It's so cool. I don't know. I thought that was so cool.
As long as they take good care of them.
She also picked up the Country Icon Award last week at what award show?
It's the CMAs, right?
It's the People's Choice Country Awards. No. You need this last one to tie and get 4. Number 5. Frankie Valli is going viral because he barely lip syncs at his shows now, and people don't know if he just doesn't care or if he's in bad shape.
Okay.
He was the front man from what band from the 60s?
God, now you got me tripped up here. A little tilt. Four Seasons?
Yes. Oh, gosh. You know what's really interesting? He's 90. He's 90.
Yeah, that's old.
I mean, if he's going to get on stage, like, do you really expect him to get up there and sing every song and do that? Like, you just want to look at him.
Listen, I know Jersey Boys is a big thing, right? People are still out there enjoying it. But, yeah, I would take into account the fact that the man is 90 years old.
All right, I'm sorry, Erin. You guys tied at 4. That'll get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
That's okay. I'm happy with that.
Good game. Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,400 tomorrow, Anna.